lease of the frequent flyer. Okay, I'm sorry, I got distracted with Lisa. Dr. John Liddell, Mr. Bruce Legler, I'm so sorry, and another frequent, Melissa Burkhardt. Dr. Rapp.
Yes, thank you very much. I had to shake your chief of staff's hand because having served as chief of staff at a major hospital in the Orlando area, I know getting those HCAHPS scores, willingness to recommend, is very difficult. You happen to be one of the best hospitals in Florida, and I'm going to say that to start. And I'm not pulling any legs here, so don't count that against my time because I'm giving you some good news. All right? That doesn't mean I've been a physician for 33 years, board certified family medicine. I'm an Army veteran. I served in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Joint Task Force Guantanamo Bay. My very first patients at George Washington University in 1985 were men with Kaposi sarcoma and pneumocystis pneumonia. We didn't know what was going on. Those patients got a lot more personal attention and a lot more compassion than we ever saw with a COVID patient in any hospital in this country, regardless of your HCAHPS scores. I still have privileges at 5 different hospitals. I am on call, as I said, 24/7, and during this operation COVID-19, I have to say, and I'm going to be season 5 this year, I never worked harder as an Army soldier. And all these guys behind me, and all these nurses know, we never worked harder as men and women in the medical profession than we did during the Delta variant. So I'm not here to condemn at all anybody, but I'm here to see a little bit of insight and try to calm things down because, you know, I had to do a lot of praying before I drove up here. My first patient was at 8 o'clock this morning in Ocala, Florida. My next patient will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in Ocala, Florida. And I worked until 10 o'clock last night. And I'll work until 10 o'clock tonight. That's what I do because I love my patients. Because there's no hope without, there's no healing without hope. There's no healing without relationship. And both of those things were in the gutter during the Delta variant. So let me give you a few quick stories. I only have a couple of minutes.
One minute.
Okay. Let me tell you about the mayor and the car salesman, New Year's Eve, 2020. Car salesman comes into one hospital, he's refused ivermectin, he spends 3 months in the hospital, he survives. He says to me after he got my car from my daughter, I survived because of you coming to see me every day when I couldn't see my kids. He's the only parent, two kids, 12 and 15. The mayor calls me, he's hypoxic, chief of police, fire department. He's got the Delta variant. He gets into another hospital, guess what he gets? He gets ivermectin. All right, the only patient in the entirety of the Delta variant got ivermectin legally. Let me tell you about the wife, the persistent wife, who I gave her ivermectin. She insisted on staying with her husband. He was in the hospital for another 3 months. He walked out of that hospital because she gave him ivermectin. Let me tell you about the new mom. When the obstetrician called me, I actually talked to the other obstetrician, said, do you know anyone that can treat a woman with COVID? I go to this woman's bedside after giving birth to her baby. She works as a nurse across the street at the other hospital, I'm not mentioning any names. She went to the ER with COVID. They said, wait, come back when you're under 90% oxygen saturation. She was admitted for her baby, C-section. I walk in there. She's blue as can be, no O2 sats. Excuse me, sir. 72% pulse ox and nothing being done. I took ivermectin out of my pocket. I gave it to her. Now I got dozens of cases I can't share them with you, but let me just tell you this.
Thank
one more
you.
Minute, sir. No. I drove 2.5 hours here. Just let me say this. We are not noise. We are not noise. I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to be the best, be the first to admit wrongdoing in all humility and realize, just realize, that these lives would have been, just think of all the patients' lives I would have been spared. And I was disciplined for giving ivermectin. I've been fined $500. I've been suspended 2 weeks. I've been on the American Board of Family Medicine, the Florida Department of Health, and 2 hospitals.
Thank you.
You take care of patients.
What were the outcomes that we had? And we used an independent third party who basically said we had 24% better outcomes than our peer group.
I just wanted to let her know I'm wearing this white coat. I'm not employed. I'm not a contracted physician. I'm able to speak my mind. That's why I asked her. I said, thank you for your advocacy, for patience and help.
Wow, this is how it's done here.
All right. Second thing is to follow the money. I'm kind of a numbers guy and did the hospital benefit Or was there any?
You're not allowed to record out here.
You can videotape him.
So can't videotape him? What are we doing now? Interesting. He said I can't video what's happening out there.
Between the doctor and the patient. And any doctor that wanted to prescribe a Memantin or any medical treatment that they thought was best for the patient was not blocked from the hospital. And I think that's...
No, it is not. I think you're a good guy, right?
You just want out on the public sidewalk, Doug.
All right. Good. That sounds good. I appreciate your hard work, guys. Just God bless you. All right.
Can you tell me why Dr. Littell got kicked out of the meeting? What just happened in there, Dr. Littell? And tell us who you are, what's going on here, and what just happened.
Well, I'm a family doc. I worked in Ocala, Florida this morning. I drove down here just to give a voice for the voiceless, the people who were treated unfairly during COVID, worse than unfairly. My own experience as a doctor caring for patients in 4 hospitals. And I have to tell you, Sarasota did an amazing job of allowing people to have a voice today, although they cut our time down at the last minute to 3 minutes, and in my case, 2.5 minutes. So I didn't get to say what I wanted to say because I was only given 2.5 minutes to really speak about my concerns. What happened just now is that there's a wonderful board member who I just met for the first time. I went up to her after the meeting, or I thought it was near the end of the meeting. I just asked her, was any chance I could say something more? Because I had been cut short. And I wanted to say, had I had a few more minutes to say, she herself voiced the fact that there's doctors on staff at this hospital who will not speak their mind because for fear of retribution, for fear of losing their job. And what I wanted to tell her as a doctor who's taken care of other physicians with COVID for the last 3 years, other physicians, cardiologists, pathologists, obstetricians, pediatricians calling me for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, but they wouldn't ever let anyone know. This is what's happened. The hospitalists, even in this hospital, do not want people to know where they stand because they are fearful of eventually being kicked out of either the hospital or their own groups. So the reason I came here, all I said was I'm wearing this white coat, I represent myself, and most importantly, my contract with my patients. See, that's different. Hospital anymore, 99% of doctors have a contract, an exclusive contract with the hospital, or they're employed by the hospital. They cannot speak their minds freely. But what do they do when they had COVID, especially during Delta? They called doctors like me. All over the state, I got calls from doctors and lawyers and mayors and teachers, and I just treated them with the stuff that I knew worked and kept them out of the hospital. So what happened here tonight was simply, I guess I violated protocol. I have to confess, I have not ever been at a hospital board meeting, ever. I've been chief of staff, but not this kind of meeting where I thought I could walk up and just say thank you to what the lady said. And the treatment I got was for a half a dozen, uniformed folks to initially walk me out of there and then say I had to leave the entire premises of the hospital as though I'm some kind of a criminal. And all they did is speak my mind.
Well, I mean, you got up there and you said you've treated a lot of patients with ivermectin. And then you were going to talk to the what board member and what's her name? What the one that was talking that he was.
The one on the end, I'm not sure.
Okay, she was saying something that you liked.
Yeah, she's going to be about how
people are afraid to speak up. And then right as she was saying, right as you were talking to her and you were trying to compliment her, that she was about her saying that doctors are afraid to speak up because of what might happen to them. Mm-hmm. You, a doctor, spoke up. And were escorted out by police officers.
Right. I whispered to her. I didn't want to disrupt the meeting, if you noticed. I didn't go in and shout. I just went up to her quietly, bent over, thanked her for her time. Listen, I've been at meetings in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. I've never actually been told I couldn't go up to a congressman, a legislator, or a state senator and actually whisper to them near the conclusion of the meeting. I have never been, in Tallahassee, I've never been treated like this. But the Sarasota Hospital decides to treat me like a common criminal and escort me off their premises because they had the audacity of complimenting a board member for saying something good and offering my services to her if she wanted to reach out to me after the meeting. That's all I said.
It seems like you proved their point. What did you think about this report, especially,
Very well prepared, very designed to assuage the community leaders into thinking that every hospital that treated every patient with COVID did the right thing. When in fact, every hospital continues to unnecessarily test people. When they say they have these great results in cases of COVID, you have to understand 90% of the people right now that are being diagnosed as COVID in hospitals don't even have COVID symptoms. They're not even sick with COVID. most of them are not. They're just routinely testing these folks because still they have the financial incentives, and then it can kind of pad their numbers when the patients leave and they haven't died from COVID pneumonia, which we saw in Delta, but now they say we have a 95% whatever survival rate. These are patients like my own adopted son who went in with a ruptured aneurysm into the University of Florida Hospital and was put in isolation because he tested positive for COVID when nothing was happening that had anything to do with COVID, and he was restricted with visitation restrictions. So it blows my mind how the medical profession has basically lost so much compassion and common sense during this time. I gave him compliments. I said, Sarasota, you have a great willingness to recommend score, HCAPS. You guys are amazing. You must do amazing things in this hospital. But let's not blow, you know, smoke at us right now and try to tell us that what you do with COVID patients was acceptable. It'll never be acceptable. And they, if they want to be the best hospital, if they want to be the best, have need to be the first to admit that they did wrong. And as that board member said, that they didn't listen to the doctors, they didn't entertain alternative treatments, they didn't even look at early treatment. When I brought that up in my hospital, I can't mention the hospital right now, I will at some other point, but when I brought up early treatment to the Medical Executive Council, they said, we're gonna open up more isolation units. We're not talking about early treatment. I said, why not try to get people out of your hospital, prevent them from coming into the hospital? No one wanted to hear it then, no one wants to hear it now. They're still looking at the bottom line, which is hospital care patients. Which is why people have lost faith and confidence in hospitals. Who wants to come to a hospital that doesn't care about keeping them out of the hospital in the first place, or see a doctor that won't go out of his way or her way to keep them out of the hospital? That's all, and I'm happy to be a voice for those patients, and that's why I'm here.
So maybe they didn't like your tie. I'm seeing, it looks like what our founding fathers signatures.
Thomas Jefferson. That's
oh,
my man.
Thomas Jefferson. Oh, that's my man. That'll get you thrown out.
They got along. They got along. They didn't like each other. They got along. That's why we have a country we have. These board members and we doctors, as I started out with my comments, you know, we're all in a medical profession. We should have gotten along. We should have had conversations. We weren't allowed to have conversations. They shut me down every time I brought up, you know, and God forbid, you know, I'm unvaxxed. They even told me at one hospital I couldn't eat in the physician's lounge. I couldn't, you know.
Seen that before.
So this is the kind of the way we're being treated. Instead of, let's have a conversation, let's talk. So that one board member, God bless her, she said, let's have a conversation. These are intelligent people. Like I said recently, we all took organic chemistry. We're supposed to be the best and brightest minds in the country, right? We passed and we excelled, hopefully, in organic chemistry. And yet we get to this issue and we're just studying basic concepts of pharmacology and pathophysiology, and we won't have a conversation. So. You know, I make an appeal to these doctors to just allow other doctors with different perspectives to share their views for the sake of the patients. They deserve it.
You know, I'm just wondering what is going on in these places.
It's hard to believe that we're already going into March 2023. And the world is an insane place. World War III has already started. Biden is a puppet and is dissolving our borders. There's mass censorship. James O'Keefe's been removed from Project Veritas. The list goes on and on of the bad things that are happening. But the good things that are happening is humanity is really accelerating its awakening. But those of us on the forefront are under more attack by the establishment than ever. That's why I'm counting on you to spread the word about the broadcast, to pray for the broadcast, and to keep the broadcast on the air by getting great products at InfoWarsStore.com. And whether it's a final signed copy, they're almost all sold out, of The Great Reset and the War for the World, or Ultimate Bone Broth, finally back in stock after over 2 years, it's all available at InfoWarsStore.com. These are truly amazing products. So get your InfoWars products at InfoWarsStore.com and enrich your life while keeping the broadcast on the air. It is your decision on whether or not we stay on air, so please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com.